Others were willing to accept Roman rule. Within the Jews, there still burned a deep desire to be free of Roman rule and to restore the kingdom of God, which for most Jews meant the restoral of the Jewish independence, that Israel would be a great power again as it had once been under King David. But there were strategic decisions for Augustus. Egypt was the granary of the Roman Empire. Every year, three harvests of grain were taken from the soil of Egypt, and that grain fed Rome. Italy was not capable of feeding Rome, and crucial to the emperor's position was his ability to distribute free grain, or at least grain at a very cheap price. There were welfare benefits that gave people grain for free, but everyone in Rome benefited from low prices. That was only possible by an imperial monopoly on the import of grain that came about from Egypt. Secondly, Judea was the linchpin of the entire Roman strategic system in the east. Any Persian army attempting to capture Egypt must pass through Judea. And in the same way, any Persian army attempting to strike into the provinces of Syria and Asia Minor must pass through Judea. Persian armies in the past had raided Judea, a testimony to the importance of maintaining careful control over this frontier province. And so ultimately, despite hesitations about the problems of governing Judea, Augustus annexed the land. And the first step in any Roman annexation, as we know from many sources, was to carry out a census, to measure every plot of land, to enroll every inhabitant, to say how many children they had, what their wife's name was, and thus to establish a basis for taxation. It was also fully within the character of Roman bureaucrats that such a census would be carried out in a very formal fashion by having every individual, every head of a household, go to the place where they were born. That way you could keep a careful check on each individual. And so it is entirely within the scope of what we know of Roman bureaucracy that Joseph, carpenter in Nazareth, would have gone up to Bethlehem, the place of his birth. So the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem occurs quite understandably within the framework of Roman political history and the nature of Roman bureaucracy. The Gospels really tell us very little about the childhood of Jesus. Luke says that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. But the Gospel of Mark, what I have said to be the first-hand account of Peter, has Jesus simply appearing and going to John the Baptist to be baptized and there receiving a calling from God. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the startling scene of Jesus simply appearing by the Sea of Galilee. See where up until recent years men still fished in the same way that Peter and his brother were fishing on that day when this man appeared, a man of whom they knew nothing. And to the end of his life, Peter could not have explained the events that then happened. The man simply pointed at them and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And Peter and his brother obeyed. They went with him and would follow him to the ends of their lives, preaching the gospel as they saw it. But their first action that day was to go into a synagogue there by the Sea of Galilee in the town of Capernaum. The synagogue itself was in the form of a Greek temple, striking testimony to the pervasive influence of Greek culture throughout Judea. Greek was a common language, as common on the streets of Jerusalem as was Aramaic. Greek educational forms were used by anyone who attempted education, along with the rabbinical schools, Greek art and architecture. Even pious Jews were buried in sarcophagi done up with Greek mythological scenes. So Greek culture was extremely pervasive, and the Greek temple that was the synagogue in Capernaum can still be examined by us today. Jesus went into that synagogue, and the standard ritual was to first have a prayer, then to have a reading from the Torah, and then from the Psalms. And then anyone, technically, could stand up and give a message. But in fact, that was reserved by tradition for the Pharisees.